All right. So I'm here with Weston, man. Appreciate you coming on, man. Super
Having
excited
me.
to jam. Known Weston for a good bit. I don't know if you want to introduce yourself for a little bit.
Yeah, so as Trent said, my name's Weston. I played football my whole life. High school wasn't very successful in my own career, and then I ended up walking on in college. And then due to like just weird timing with the coaching staff and stuff, I never ended up officially playing in college. So that was really the first 2 years of my college experience, was trying to walk on, doing it, and then new coaching staff came in, tried out again, didn't make the team. And then from that point forward, I've just been focused on like getting into sports performance training. I worked at a sports performance gym, made some content on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, focused on like training, mindset stuff, because all basically all the things that I wish I had known when I was in high school coming into college, trying to walk on the team. So yeah, that's kind of was my general trajectory. And then now I'm working with some quarterbacks, training some different athletes, and particularly football, but I've worked with also basketball players. And yeah.
Love it, man. Love it. Yeah, there's a ton of things we could talk about because I do want to talk about some of the walk-on stuff because obviously like I don't know if you would deem it a successful. You kind of had that, like you said, a little bit of a hiccup with this whole regime change. Yeah, one of the cool things that I really enjoyed about your content and like what made me reach out was just like how you think about things is like somewhat similar to how I kind of thought about things, but you actually just pieced together in a really good way that I thought was really helpful for younger athletes because I mean, you touched on a like, you know, high school career wasn't necessarily the best for you and it wasn't for me either. And that's can be like so challenging as a young kid where like you have these dreams and aspirations to go chase after something and for whatever reason it doesn't work out, whether it's, you know, high school coaches being high school coaches or whatever it is, not that you can necessarily blame that, but it's like it's hard not to blame that. It's hard not to blame yourself and just all these external circumstances that can get you so caught up and messed up with you. I mean, I feel like I know just, you know, different situations of like athletes that got ruined by some coach and, you know, that can mess so much with your just your brain and like the rest of your life almost in a sense. So I don't know if there's certain I don't know if you want to go into your story a little bit of like what kind of realizations that you had, certain situations that kind of made you kind of start to think about that differently or yeah, I would love for you to jam on that more.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny because I very much had like a moment where it hit me of like, I really need to start focusing on the mental side of the game or else I'm just going to be like not reach my potential essentially. And so when that kind of happened for me was, it was my junior year of high school. And I had one coach on my team who was just like very, I don't even know the way to describe him. He was just like super like emotionally like volatile. Like over anything, he would just like freak out, just screaming, yelling, like very old school, like harsh coach. And I had played on a youth team that was very kind of like traditional and like a very level-headed way. It was like, all right, you know, if you make a mistake, come out to the sideline and the coaches are like talking you through it. All right, this is how you move past it, da da da. And then I get to high school and I have this coach who was just like a ticking time bomb, essentially. And that really got in my head, and I didn't really know how to deal with that type of coaching. And so that was kind of at first when I started to realize, like, all right, I don't really know. By the way, is this sound over here bad? Can you hear it, or is my voice coming through?
I think you're coming all right. Yeah, you should be good.
Yeah,
Yeah.
cool. So yeah, this coach was just constantly like flipping out, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And my junior year, I was a really late bloomer. So my freshman year, sophomore year, I was not competing for the varsity job at all. I was like 5'5" my freshman year, 5'9" my sophomore year, freshman team, JV. And then finally, between my sophomore and junior year, I grew a lot. I got to like 6'1", I think. And then I was working on my athleticism, my throwing. I got a lot better and improved a lot. So junior year, I was like, all right, this is my chance like to fight for the varsity spot. And for a minute, I had thought about transferring my junior year, going to a different school. Just because there was a guy in my grade who I'm good friends with now. Actually, it's funny, but at the time he had started as a freshman, started on varsity as a sophomore, and was looking to start again as a junior. And so I was like, all right, the coach has already liked this guy. He's got the spot. I think it might be better for me to transfer. But the eligibility of my basically state, like high school sports rule setting, they said I wouldn't be eligible to play at all my junior year. So I was like, all right, I'll refocus, go back to my school, and I'm going to win the job. So I come back junior year. And I'm playing a lot better in like preseason scrimmage. I ball out. First game of the season, we kind of wipe the team out. The other quarterback is in the whole game. I get into the end. I make some plays. I like run for a touchdown, have like a couple good pass completions. And then me and him split reps for like the first couple drives of the next game. So it's kind of like he's very much starting, but I'm like in the mix a little bit. And then it's homecoming game and he's playing the whole game. The team were just kind of struggling. I think we were down maybe 21-10, something like that. Fourth quarter, and then he goes down. He gets like blindside hit. He's out of the game. I get thrown in, and I was on the sideline like, this is what I thought about for so long. Like, this is my chance. I go in right now, come back, ball out. We win the game. This is my job. So I'm on the sideline like, I'm kind of just posturing and trying to act all confident. Inside, I was nervous, but I was telling all my teammates, they're like, Wes, this is your chance. And I was like, I don't even know, man. I was saying like funny stuff. I was like, watch this. Like, you know, as people would say now, I was aura farming. So I was just trying to like do this whole thing like of being all confident, but I didn't really feel that. But I was like, all right, this is, I got to make this happen. So I get in, and then essentially I didn't really make any big mistake, but just nothing happened. Like the offense got stalled. We weren't really moving the ball well, just three and out. Got back, same thing happened. And something about like the high of that being my chance and then not performing as well as I wanted to after that game, for whatever reason, I was just so discouraged, like so upset. And for the rest of that season, I literally could not get over it. Like every practice was just, I was dreading to go to it. I felt nervous every time I was in the pocket. I was like so uncertain about myself and my game. And I was hesitating to make throws. I couldn't really trust myself. And I just felt like this game had like stuck in my mind and was haunting me for the rest of the season. And there was one game later in the season where I got in and literally the first play I was in, I almost threw a pick six. And it was like such a dumb play. It was like trips, and there was the one receiver, and it was on the short side of the field, like we were on the hash. And it was just basically like all hitches. And so there was the corner, and he was kind of deep. And then the outside linebacker was like obviously going to drop into the flat. And I was just nervous. I couldn't really think. And I just snapped the ball, turned, and got rid of it. And the outside linebacker was just right there and just caught it and just took off. And then luckily the running back caught him, pushed him out of bounds. And so I was just like in a mental fog for the rest of the season. And then after that season, I kind of realized, I was like, all right, I've got to figure this out, because I go to these training sessions on the weekends with these quarterback trainers and I'm throwing and spinning it with guys who are getting recruited to play in college. Like I know just physically I have the ability to do that. And I was getting more athletic. I was getting taller. I was getting bigger and I could spin the ball, but I would get to my team and I just like couldn't put it together and couldn't make the right decisions. So at that point, that's kind of when I dived into it. And learning about it, reading books, and just trying to like find my own way with the mental side of things. And that's what kind of made me realize it was so important. Then coming to my senior year, got a lot better at it. But at that point, I was still back up on the team. A whole other thing happened where I tried to transfer again. Transfer got denied. And had I transferred, I would have been probably starting at like one of the best schools in my state. So it would have been like a great opportunity. But a bunch of stuff happened. It was during COVID. So the administration of the high school, a bunch of weird stuff was going on. So I didn't get in. And then working on my mental stuff and just my confidence and my ability to trust myself and all these little things into my college career. And then I found during walk-on tryouts when I was trying out, it's different than a game, of course, but there is like still some pressure there. You know, it's all my training and all my life essentially had led up to that moment. That's not objectively true, but that's kind of what it felt like in my own mind. And so any athlete has felt the amount of pressure we put on ourselves, and that kind of dictates how you feel about things. So of course, I was super nervous and cared a lot about it. And still, I eventually got to the point where I was able to be there at these tryouts with a bunch of Division I coaches watching. I knew what was on the line. I had basically 2 hours, an hour and a half to show my potential. If I did it well, I could make the team. If I had a bad 1.5 hours, it doesn't matter the dozens and dozens of hours I put in training. It doesn't matter what my potential is. I've got to be good enough in this hour, hour and a half, which is tough because there's no real margin for error. You've got to be at your peak performance right when you have to be. You don't have another chance. So I was able to kind of like mentally gather that and be in like a good spot to perform well there. And so that was kind of the journey of like how I started learning about the mental stuff and realizing it was important. And then how I ended up kind of getting to the point where like I felt good about it, confident, and felt like I could give some advice back to high schoolers and guys going into college about how they can improve it.
100%, man. I hadn't heard that full story, man, but it's strange. It's almost like my journey was somewhat similar, and I'll give the brief recap in case anyone has heard it before, but like very similar in the sense that like I had another guy in my class that was the dude, and he like started over me like starting basically eighth grade year, And, you know, I was on freshman team. He was on JV. He was on varsity when I was on JV. And then like junior year, I was like, all right, I got to push it. But, you know, he's a starter, not going to be the starter probably until maybe week four or five, ended up getting an opportunity week two. Kind of did okay, but obviously they're giving him like the shorter leash because he's, you know, just biased. I mean, which I don't blame. It's like, yeah, he's got a year under of varsity experience, but yeah, that can be like, dude, the quarterback position's already tough enough. And then like as a high schooler, and like, I think you went to like a relatively decent sized high school, right, over there in Colorado,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, there's so many dynamics at play of like, obviously, like, this is what you kind of dreamed of being a starting varsity quarterback, and now you're split in time, and then all your friends also, like, kind of see all that stuff, because obviously that's just such a, like, a big position to be in, and it's a lot to take on, and I couldn't even imagine doing it at, you know, I didn't play D1 football, but, like, that's, you know, even crazier having to deal with that pressure, but it's just a weird dynamic of, like, you know, you're so young having to deal with all these, like, just nuanced challenges that it's hard to like, unless you're in that position, like a lot of people would just kind of be like, oh, it must be nice to be in that position. But it's like, it's a lot of stuff to deal with and wrap your head around. And especially being like a high standard kind of guy. So I definitely agree with you and understand a lot of that stuff for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I remember, and the thing that like frustrated me about it is because, I mean, it's funny you say that too about your friends and stuff watching. Cause I remember one of the hardest parts for me was like knowing all these people who I went to school with, and they'd always ask me, and they kind of knew me as like the guy who was just like loved football. And like, I was always had my cleats tied in my bag. I was like writing plays in class. So everyone just had this image of me as obsessed with football. And I was that. And then people would ask me like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I want to play in the NFL. And I was like, so confident and believed in it a lot that a lot of people were like, dang, this guy's pretty serious. And then I'd get out on the field and all these kids who I would talk to and hung out with at school, they're sitting in the stands, and I'd like come off the field not playing as well as I wanted to. And they're just all sitting up there, and I'm like, dang. And it's tough to deal with, you know? And then the part about it is that I really noticed is you're not taught at all how to deal with that. And even coaches, like, you know, you learn the technique and the fundamentals of the game, but unless you're really lucky with like a really unique and good coach, you're not going to learn any of the mental stuff. And the coaches are going to say stuff like I remember this one coach I had who I mentioned earlier, he would like talk bad about me to other players on the team, which is just like, for a coach who's like, you know, a grown adult to be doing that is a little bit weird. But essentially I would like talk to my teammates, and he'd be like, and they would tell me, they'd be like, yeah, so coach said like one of the reasons that he doesn't think you're a good enough option for quarterback is because you aren't confident enough. And I was like, all right. So then I like talked to him about this, and he would kind of dodge the issue. And then he's like, man, you just got to be confident. You just got to be confident. And then the coaches are always saying like, relax, you got to trust yourself. You got to let it rip. And like, yeah, that's true, but that's not helpful at all. If anything, it makes it way worse. And I'm sure any athlete of any sport can relate to that. Like, you got to play confident, man. You got to go out there and get it. You got to relax. Like, whatever it is, people just say stuff and it doesn't help at all. Like, what does that actually mean? And how do you actually do that? And that's what I kind of started to get into that helped me out a lot learning it.
For sure. And it's definitely like that's funny that you bring that up, because that's such a good point, is like when you started going on the mental route, I was like, yeah, I mean, the most amount of coaching you're gonna get is like a coach telling you, man, you just gotta focus. You just gotta focus on lock in.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta do your job. You gotta work hard. And it's like, no shit. Like, that's what I'm kind of trying to do. You know, they're not gonna give you tactical stuff to actually like improve on that and have those important conversations to kind of like break it down. Cause it's like, I mean, yeah, you're still trying to figure out how to like, I mean, like, you're obviously trying to have the goal in mind to be successful. Like, no one's on the field thinking like, dang, I really like want to be super tight and not relax or not perform to my best. It's like the most worst line of all time is the one where it's like, oh, you got to throw it to the guy's chest, or you got to lead the guy. It's like, again, no shit. Like, I'm not like, thanks for the coaching tip. Wow, I wish I would have known that before I threw that ball. I was trying to throw it to the other team there. But I think you make some great points, and unfortunately there's just not enough about that. And you know, probably will be a while until there's, you know, major reform in that. I mean, there's obviously just usually not enough resources or time for high school to really do that. I was very fortunate to where I think it was my junior year actually, that I started working with a sports psychologist who's a good friend of mine. I still talk to him like on a weekly basis now. We actually talked like a couple of days ago, and he worked with the Raiders and a couple other organizations, and like very fortunate to have that, to where like I got to learn some of those skills, because we would talk about like, what does it mean to be confident? How can you kind of train that and work that and improve on that? Because it's not something that happened. Like, it's like anything else. It's something that takes time in terms of being confident, or certain leadership traits, or, you know, focus, for example, is a trait that you kind of build over time. So it's definitely, definitely very good point that you bring up, of like, you just don't get that kind of training normally.
Yeah, 100%. I also think like another part of it that's tricky is it's very like intangible. You know, a lot of coaches can work on stuff with a player and you can see the direct effects. It's like, all right, you get a guy stronger in the weight room, you improve their speed. Like, there is a tangible metric for that. You dropped your 40 time by this much, you improved your squat by this much. As a quarterback, you're completing this many throws, you can throw it this far, whatever. But the mental side is like very intangible, and you can see it kind of through results of how people play, but that also could be just them playing well physically. So it's, as you said, like, it's kind of tricky, because one, like, a lot of athletes don't really care about it, because it's like, it's not sexy. Like, it's cool to want to be like, oh, I got my vertical jump up, look at me dunk. I got my speed up, look at me run. But to be like, bro, I'm feeling way more confident and poised right now. It's like, all right, no one cares. So like, no one's really thinking about that as like a cool thing to improve on, because so much of sports at a young age is just very like, kind of, I guess, like status based. You know, it's like cool to be good. It's cool. Like, you want to look good in front of your teammates. You want to look good at school, all this stuff. And that kind of ties in, like, when you're motivated by those things, it makes you a lot more, like at risk for these mental effects, because you're confident, or your confidence is just not as stable. And so when it's driven by these things, of course, you're not really going to care about like these intangible things that people on the outside can't really see. And so because of that too, it's hard for athletes to like care about. A lot of athletes don't really care about it unless they've had like a direct experience with failing because they're not good enough at it. Once you have that, it's like, all right, I got to figure this out. But until that point, you don't really care. And then coaches don't really care because it's intangible. And they're like, why am I going to spend all this time on something that, to a lot of old school coaches, just like, as you said, they're like, do your job. Well, to them, it's just all physical, but there's so much more that goes into that. So yeah, it's very interesting. And I think it's like a growing industry already. We see a lot more, like I've seen a lot more sports psychologists pop up on social media, and I think it'll become a bigger and bigger thing. And then we could get touch in on this too. But I think that there's walking a line there, because at a certain point, when you want to find the line between like developing mentally. And then I think that I got to a point where I kind of realized, when I was making a lot of my videos, I got to a point where I realized you get to a certain point of like introspection and self-awareness that's like detrimental. You want to be at a middle point where you're able to catch yourself and focus back in. But there's a level of almost being like too mentally dialed, or like understanding yourself and what's going on in your mind too much, that it kind of like traps you. Because if you think about all the greatest athletes, like, you know, whatever sport you want to pick, very rarely are they like in their own heads diagnosing how they're feeling and what they're doing and what they need to do. Because everything, there's so much going on in the game, they're very like externally focused with their mind, and they're present and focused in that. And so if you start thinking too much about all the nuances of the mental game and how I'm feeling, what does that mean? What do I need to do? There's a point of that that's important, because if you have none of it, then you're basically just, the car has no steering and your mind's driving you everywhere. But then if it's too much, every little thing the car does, you're always freaking out and trying to control it. And so there's very much walking a line. It's tricky, tricky to find. And I've found myself when I first started making videos, just because I was constantly like thinking of things. All right, what could be another advice I could give? What could be another good point to think of? I realized it's like, I think I'm giving like too much advice on like two specific things. Just, there's some things that are better to just kind of like let it go and be present and let it go. You don't need to try to control every aspect of your mind. Yeah, that's a line to walk that there's not a perfect answer on, but it's interesting and it's tough to find the right spot.
Yeah, that is a really good point. It, yeah, because obviously there's a balance there of like, I think most people, like you and I can agree, is like most people don't put enough time and effort into it, but also there is a trap of like, some people's issue is just, yeah, they're way too much in their own head of like, you know, they're trying to diagnose everything and they're like, oh, I understand now, like, you know, now I got to reframe my thinking of like this. And it's like, no, dude, I think actually like you just gotta, you do have to relax and like, just like you said, be present in that moment, especially in like game situations. Obviously you don't want to be super cognizant of certain things, because it's like you kind of put in that pre-work, and then in the game it's like maybe you have one cue or one trigger that's like, okay, that's kind of like my one mental thing, but like the rest of it's all just reactive in the moment, because you know you can't really be thinking about like exactly what's going on in that game situation as well. So yeah, it's definitely a good point that you bring up there.
I was gonna say off that point is what I think about to that is, have you seen the meme where it's like the bell curve, and you have like low IQ, very high IQ, and then there's something in the middle, and it'll be like, I'm trying to think of a good example, but what makes me think of this is there's kind of like, if there were to be a bell curve for this, like the advice of to an athlete of like, just play, man, be relaxed and just play. That's like very much on the bottom of the bell curve. Like a coach says that to you and it means nothing. And then the middle of the bell curve is like all this mental preparation and all this stuff that's really important. And then the top of the bell curve comes back to like, let it go, just play. And it's kind of like you have to get back to that point by learning all the stuff in the middle. Because if you don't really know any of it, that means nothing. But when you kind of understand the mental stuff that goes into it, eventually you kind of realize like ultimately when you do the mental preparation, you're doing the right stuff. It just comes down to like letting go and just playing. But it's kind of, it's funny because it's simple, but without a little bit of an understanding of like how to prepare and how to dial in mentally, that means absolutely nothing to a young athlete, which is why when coaches say it, they don't even know what they're saying, really. They're just saying it because they think it's the right thing to say. And then an athlete doesn't really know how to receive it. So, yeah.
Yeah, agree with you a ton there. Yeah, that's a good point that you bring up. I always like that meme, and this is just, it makes it so, it's just so funny how like, you know, everybody else is in the middle, make overcomplicating things, and it's like, oh yeah, the smart person just realizes that, hey, it is as simple as it kind of is, and you just kinda get to that point. But it's also like, once you embark on that journey, especially the mental stuff, I feel like you can just, you end up going through that rabbit hole. I think one of the good quotes I always think of is Jordan Peterson. He says, I don't even think it's Jordan Peterson actually that has a quote, but he said it, somebody else said it, that was smarter than him probably, but that the only way out is through. And it's like, it's the same thing with the middle stuff. It's like, once you get in it, you can't really just get out of it. You kind of have to go through it. And then you have that realization. You're like, oh yeah, like it's pretty simple. Like just have to like, let it go, relax. At the end of the day, it's a game that you get to play. So yeah, that's a good point right there as well. I think you brought up some stuff about like books and whatnot. Definitely read a couple books I thought were pretty helpful during my time of like kind of mental stuff. Think of like, I think one of the best ones that anyone could read is like The Mind Gym. I don't know if you've ever read that one. That one's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. I never read that. I've definitely seen that. Does it have like, it's like a basketball on the cover?
Yeah. I think it has a couple of different sports on there. But it gives a pretty broad overview of like mental sports. Curious if there's any books that you've read that you felt like were really helpful to the mental
side. Definitely. There's a couple that I think are really big. I think probably the best one is The Inner Game of Tennis. I think any athlete should read that. Super interesting. And it's not even about tennis. It kind of uses tennis as like a metaphor to describe these concepts. But essentially what it talks about, the entire book is about self one in quotes, self two in quotes, which is basically like your analytical mind trying to control everything versus like your present fluid reactive mind, and how can you transfer from self one to self two. And it talks about how tennis players, if they want to fix their swing, fix their return on a shot, it's always so much mental evaluation and controlling, all right, where's my wrist, where's my elbow, how am I doing this? And the book kind of flips it and says, instead of trying to change anything mentally, just observe exactly what your swing is like. Just be aware of what your swing is without trying to change anything. And then when you do that, you start to develop an awareness for exactly where your swing is. And then instead of trying to change where your wrist is, just feel where it's at. And so I give this advice to a lot of quarterbacks. Like if they're struggling with their throwing motion, it's easy to all of a sudden go in and try to start changing big stuff up. Before that, when you're throwing the ball, just become super aware of your throwing motion and try to feel exactly like where your release point is. Where is your wrist at release? Where's your elbow? Whatever it may be for a quarterback. And then when you get very aware on that, because you're not actively trying to change it, it's way easier to have like a fluid motion and kind of be present with it as opposed to like clamping down and trying to control it, which is ultimately what creates us like hesitating and creates this essentially like a mental block that's creating a physical block. I'm sure any athletes felt it when you're mentally in your head, that reflects itself in the motions of your body. So like if you're really stiff mentally, you're nervous, you're hesitant, like you're not going to play smooth and freely. You're going to play very constricted, controlled, very tight. So the whole book is about that, which is really interesting. That talks a lot about a lot of other stuff too. So I think that one's great. One I read recently actually that I wish I would have learned, or I wish I would have read when I was younger, is called The Art of Learning. It's really good. It's about this guy who was like a chess master, and then he transitioned and was like a master in Tai Chi. And basically the whole book is him talking about his learning process of like becoming a master in something. So I really like that one. And then I'm trying to think what else. I really like the book Body Mind Mastery. That's a good one. And then there's also a really good, I liked reading the Phil Jackson books that kind of talked about Michael Jordan. Like he has one called Sacred Hoops. And then there's another Jordan one I read, I forget the name. But yeah, those are great ones as well. Because Jordan was such like a master of the mental game without even really realizing it. I mean, he definitely worked on it, but I think he was just like naturally really good at it. And Phil Jackson was a really interesting, unique type of coach. For anyone who doesn't really know like Phil Jackson's coaching style, I would definitely like look into that and do some research if there's an athlete listening to this who's interested in it, because it's very interesting. And like he talks a lot about the mental side of things. It kind of does things in an out of normal type of way that I think is really cool. So yeah, that's kind of a lot of decent books that I think will be good.
Interesting. Yeah, I haven't read any of those. I don't even think I've heard of them. So I'll have to check those out myself. So yeah. Interesting, man. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I definitely want to hit on the walk-on stuff, because I know you, I mean, you didn't even mention the school, but like you essentially walked on at Colorado.
Yeah.
What was that? You mentioned a little bit about the tryout process. Like I imagine you enrolled in the school after you wrapped up in high school. And then I think you didn't try out that fall, right? You tried out in the winter. Is that correct? Or
it was that fall. It was like in October. So it was kind of like in the middle of the season, essentially.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically so at the end of my senior year, I was looking at a couple schools, and I'd always grown up like watching Colorado, from Colorado. Both my parents went there. So I always wanted to play there. That was like my dream school. And I had a couple other options. I could have potentially got a good shot at playing there. I got one preferred walk-on to a Division I FCS school. And I visited the school, and it was great. Like, much appreciation to the coaching staff for even giving me that opportunity. Like, they took a shot on me, and I really appreciate that. I think a lot of it had to do with just my grades and stuff. It was like a very good academic school, and I had solid grades. So that was helpful in that instance. I know you talk about that a lot in your recruiting videos, just getting more options from performing well academically. So that's an example of that. And I visited the school, and it was cool, but it was just really small. It was far from home. I didn't think it was a great fit. And so I had reached out to every school I'd applied to. Some got back a little more promising than others. And then the general manager from Colorado actually responded to me, and he was like, we're going to have tryouts in the fall. He's like, our quarterback room is full. Like, we're not doing any more recruiting for quarterbacks right now, but you're welcome to enroll and try out in the fall. And so I decided basically through the whole process, I was like, all right, I could go to a school that is not a great fit for me and guaranteed to play football, or I can go to Colorado, which one, I got in a couple good like programs there in the school. I knew it would be a good academic option for me. I know I would love the school because I love the area. So my dad kind of gave me the advice at the time, which kind of frustrated me, but now I see the validity in it. Is he was like, I could have taken the junior college route. I didn't really consider that. I don't know why, but going back, that could have been another option because I was also just kind of a late bloomer. But my dad was like, if you go to a school that you like really hate and you get injured, what are you going to do? He's like, if you go to a school that you really like and you know you're going to have a lot going on there that's good academically and be involved in good things, then you have basically like, you can shoot for the moon and try to walk onto the team. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to take the shot. So I did it. And then I was in touch with the coaches, just basically this one guy who I was in contact with, who was kind of the mediator for tryouts. And so, yeah, I get to school. And at first I thought the tryouts were going to be before the season. So I was excited. I was like, I could try out before school, make the team, be on the team before the fall. But they're like, we pushed them back to October. At that point I was like upset. I was like, oh, I got to wait until the winter to make the team and play. So then I try out in October, and the tryout was all CU students. who were enrolled, and there's probably 40 students there. And it was basically, we got there like 7 a.m. in the morning. They just put us through a bunch of drills, routes on air, did some one-on-ones. It was pretty simple, like pretty fast, actually. And then that was it. And then I get a call a week later, and the coach is like, so our quarterback room is full right now, but like, we really liked you. You performed well. If any of these guys transfer and go to another school, you could take their spot and start on the team for winter practice after winter break and start for winter workouts. So I was upset at that at the time because I just wanted a guaranteed spot to be on it. But I eventually was like, all right, at least I have a chance. Like, at least I did well enough that they think I could be an option here. So then every day for the next like 2 months, I'd go to breakfast at the dining hall, and I was just always on Twitter refreshing, just hoping to see one of the quarterbacks from the team enter the portal. And didn't happen. So I come back from winter break, no options on the team, no opportunity because no one had left. And so I continued to train through that spring and summer. I thought there might be tryouts in the spring, but there weren't. So the coach says, we'll have tryouts next fall. So I prepare spring, summer, come back in the fall, try out the next year in October again. And then that's when I ended up making it. I get a call like the week after that I made the team. I was on such a high. It was like, I felt like all the work I put in had paid off. It was amazing. And then I go into the facility. I get a tour. There was like 5 of us walk-ons that had made the team. It was me, a running back, I think 2 DBs, and then a receiver or something like that. And so we get a tour of the facility. At the time, the head coach had just got fired. So there was an interim head coach. So we met the interim head coach, saw everything, and they were like, yeah, so we're going to clear you guys soon. And you're going to start practice either this fall, just on like the practice squad, kind of just helping us out in practice. Or, you know, we're going through a lot of coaching changes. So we might have to wait, push back, get you cleared after winter break, and you come and start winter workouts. So I was like, sounds good. And so I'm in touch with the coach over the next couple of weeks and the recruiting guys who I'd been in contact with. And they're essentially telling me like, oh man, we're busy with this week's game. We'll get you in next week. And I'm talking to them. They're like, oh, we'll get you in next week. Eventually, they say, hey, man, sorry, like the season's super busy, coaching change, so much stuff going on. We're going to have to get you in after winter break. Like, we'll text you over winter break and let you know when you got to report back. And so I was like, that sounds good to me. I was still working out, training, and I had already gotten my academic clearance. And like, I was an athlete technically in the school system. So I had my classes set up for practice. Like, I was dialed. I was ready to go. And then December, coaching staff gets wiped. Coach Prime and the whole new coaching staff comes in. And I was like super excited. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, the team's going to be on an up now. There's so much attention. And then I did have in the back of my mind, like, how could this affect my spot, especially because I'm not on the team now. And so one thing leads to another. December passes, winter break's coming. And over winter break, I start texting the recruiting coaches who I'd been in contact with from tryouts. And they had either, one, been fired and were at another school now, or kind of stopped like responding to me. And they're basically saying like, oh, we don't know how the new coaching staff's going to approach the walk-ons. We'll see. I get back to school and the guy wasn't responding to me. I had a couple friends on the team. So I asked him, I was like, all right, when's the first meeting? And they were like, January 14th at like 9 a.m. or whatever. And so I text this coach and I was like, hey coach, like, I'll be at the meeting tomorrow, 9 a.m. Excited to be there. Basically saying like, I made the team, like I'm going to show up. And he texts me back like immediately. And I'm like, all right, now you want to text me back? Of course. Text me back immediately. He's like, hey, man, so we don't really know what's going on with the new coaching staff and who they're bringing in transfer wise. So I'll keep you updated. So then over the next week or two, back and forth, oh, we can get you in Thursday. No, sorry, this isn't going to work. I'm going to have to push it off. Eventually, he stops responding to me. There was another guy who was helpful to me texting. He goes to another school. So then I'm like, all right, I got to take matters into my own hands. I go to the facility. And I wait at the bottom and I see a coach dressed in all like the coaching gear. And so I ask him, like, hey, excuse me, I walked on the team last semester. I'm here to see if I can talk to anyone. Do you think you could let me into like the coach's offices? And he turned out to be a strength coach, a really nice guy. He's like, yeah, for sure, I'll take you up there. So he takes me up there and they bring me to a room and I hear him go into one coach's office and he asks the coach, and basically my whole like plan here was I was going to say, essentially, if they were like, why are you here? What do you want? I was going to say, I made the team last semester. If I could just get 5 minutes to meet with you, I was confident if I could talk to a coach face to face for 5 minutes, I could like convince him to give me a chance just to practice. I was like, I had the conviction. I was literally just going to say, like, you don't even need to give me a locker. Don't even give me a gear. I'll show up to practice. Give me like 2 weeks. If you don't think I'm cut out for it, you can cut me. You don't need to give me any gear. I'll bring all my own clothes, my own shoes. Like, just give me a week or two of practice to prove myself. And I guarantee you, like, I'll make it worth it. That's basically what I was going to say to the coach. So I just wanted a couple minutes to have that conversation. So this guy goes into the room with the coach, and he's like, there's this kid here who walked on the team last semester. He wants to meet with the coach. And I just hear the guy say, what does he say? He goes, I'll tell him to come back another day. And I'm like, oh, geez, like, I'm in trouble now. And so then I'm talking to one, like, this lady who worked at the front desk there. And she's like, all right, I'm going to go into this room and get blank, who was the coach who would stop responding to me, this guy on the recruiting staff. And so she goes in there, talks to him. And this was the guy who gave me the tour after I made the team. So she walks back out and is like, yeah, so he said you're going to have to try out again. And I was like, all right, fair enough. I had wished he would have come out and like told me that face to face, based off the fact that I had known this guy since my first tryout. He had given me the tour after I made the team. Like, we were on a, you know, knowing each other basis. I had his phone number, he had mine. Like, I wish he could have just talked to me about it and told me what was going on. So that definitely kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But then I leave the facility and I was super upset, and they were just like, yeah, we don't know when tryouts are, but like, stay up to date on it and we'll see. And so I was upset about it, but the whole spring I was like, all right, I'm going to train for these tryouts whenever they happen. And then I ended up breaking my ankle, just like freak accident playing basketball. So then I rehabbed that. Tryouts ended up being at the end of that spring in May. And then I tried out and just never ended up hearing back. And it was like 400 person tryout. I think 350 was massive tryout. And no quarterbacks were taken from that tryout. I believe the only players who made it were a tight end who I actually trained with. He was a friend of mine. And then a linebacker. I think those are the only two people that made it from those tryouts. So at that point, I reached out to coaches all throughout the summer. I was like, I'm ready. I'm training. Like, I'm on campus. If you need me, I'm ready to practice. And then I never got a response. I tried that a little bit into the fall of my junior year of school. And then I thought about transferring for a little bit and playing somewhere else. And then eventually I kind of just decided that I was done with it and I wanted to move on to other things. So that's essentially the full story.
That's crazy, man. That's just, yeah, that's a wild story right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know the full ins and outs, man, but that's, yeah, that's a hell of a story.
Yeah, definitely. At the time, it was super frustrating, but now I'm happy how it worked out. I think it was the right way for things to go down. But at the time, I just felt like I was super frustrated, because had I been, like, I'm sure everyone who pays attention to college football has heard about the whole thing of Coach Prime coming in and just basically clearing out house and, like, you know, clearing out all the players. Had I been cleared in the fall, I would have been fine, because I was a walk-on, and they didn't clear out the walk-ons because the walk-ons don't take up scholarship spots. And I know now there's new rules with, like, there's not even a walk-on, but at that point there were still walk-ons. And so you had whatever number it was of max scholarship spots, and then you could have 40, 50 plus walk-ons after that. So had I been cleared in the fall when I made the team, I would have been on the team when the new staff came in. I would have been good to go. But because that got pushed back, me getting cleared after winter break is why everything went down as it is. But I think it worked out the right way in the end. But it definitely, at the time, like, it took me some time to get over that and, like, understand what I wanted to do next.
Sure, man. I mean, like, that's understandable, because it's so, like you said, you went through two tryouts, basically. I mean, that was, you just distilled like 2.5 years right there of, like, time where, hey, like, yeah, I want to make this happen. And then you finally got, like, hey, you're going to be a walk-on. And then, yeah, just all that, you know, crazy shit that happens in college football happens. And
yeah,
you know, totally. You got the bad end of the stick, dude. It's just, yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, totally. I think one thing I've mentioned in some videos and stuff before that was kind of like a harsh truth I had to come to terms with from that whole scenario was, I was, after I made the team, I was on such a high. And then after that, when I was told I had to try out again, I was so motivated and so certain that I was going to make the team. Like, I had proved myself essentially, like, before I made the team, I was confident that I could do it because I trained really hard and I thought my preparation was there and I thought I was good enough. But then, so I already had a solid level of confidence at that point. Now, it had been something I'd been working on for years, developing, like, my confidence, my focus, and all these things. And then I had now been given, like, the proof that I was good enough, quote unquote, to do it. So then with that on top of it, I was so confident, so motivated. And the mental error that I made was I thought that because I was so confident, so motivated, I kind of deserved it. And I thought that I was going to get it just by like the grace of how things work out, which unfortunately is not true, especially in college football. It's a business. And I was upset at the situation for so long. And, you know, now I'm still, there's still aspects of it that of course upset me about how things went down. But generally, like, I've released a lot of that because it's not personal. And it feels good at the time after it didn't work out to like feel some pity for myself, be like, man, that sucks. I got screwed over. But really, I didn't. Like, college football is a business. This happens every day. They don't really care about you, and that's fine. Like, they want to win games. And if you can perform well enough for them to do that, you will get that opportunity. But just because you want it really bad, and just because you do all the right things, and just because you work really hard, that gives you no guarantee of getting the result that you want. It really just comes down to how you perform. And there's a lot of external factors and luck that play into it as well. So I kind of had to swallow that pill and learn that lesson. Because for a while, I just kind of blindly thought that because I worked hard, because I cared so much, it was going to work out, which unfortunately just isn't life and isn't college football.
100%, man. 100%. Well, yeah, man, you hit all the notes right there. I couldn't agree with that more. That's 100% on the points. Look, man, I appreciate you coming on the time. I'll have to have you on again because I think there's a bunch of other things that we could go into.
No doubt.
Unfortunately, just not enough time at the end of the day. So
yeah, yeah.
We probably have a 24-hour episode if needed, but appreciate you coming on the ton. Is there anything that you wanted to, you know, shout out? Anything you want to leave everybody else with?
Yeah, man. I would just say if there's any young athlete listening, especially this far through 43 minutes, young athlete sticking through it, that's a good sign. That's commitment. That's wanting to learn. And I would just tell any athlete who's committed and really wants to make something happen with their career to commit to it fully and be ready for the obstacles that are going to come. Because in any great career, in any great story of any athlete, any person in general, there's going to be a ton of obstacles and a ton of challenges, and that's inevitable. And it's not those that define the player. It's how they respond to it and bounce back. And ultimately, those are a great part of the story if used the right way. So any athlete listening to this, no matter what they're going through, if they feel like they're not good enough yet, keep pushing forward, keep dialing in and finding your ways to get better. Because ultimately, as I said, no matter how bad you want it, no matter how much you feel like you deserve it, no matter how much you care, it just comes down to performing and being the best as you can. And if you're able to do that and perform well enough to get the results, that's ultimately who they'll go to. So any athlete, stick through it, be ready for a challenging career, but that's what makes it special, and become your best.
100%, man. Well, yeah, I appreciate you, man. Appreciate everybody watching this far along. Make sure to check out Weston's stuff on Instagram. What's your channel, Weston?
I have... One is Weston Walkov Training. That's just like general advice. I haven't been posting on there recently, but then I have one called All In Quarterback, just for quarterback training. So, yep.
Stuff. Yeah, check those out. Well, yeah, appreciate it, man. Yep. See you guys next
time. Appreciate it, man.